Well, happy Friday the 13th, everyone. I'm Spider.
And I'm Shell.
And welcome to our first side story, where we are going to discuss our little foray into Wicca. I'm calling this one The Wiccaning. Ooh. Yeah. On this little rest stop on our way out of theism that I think, in the grand scheme of things, in terms of the religious experiences that I had, I think that our time spent in Wicca was actually the most positive.
Yeah.
We had some really, really good experiences there. We also had some not so great experiences there,
yeah.
Which had, and it had to do a lot with me and the way that I still to this day think about certain things and how I kind of unintentionally dragged evangelicalism into it to a certain extent. But we'll get into that part of the story a little bit later. I thought it would be interesting if we both talked about how we found our way in.
Right.
Because I kind of sort of started first around the end of 2011. It became apparent that I was starting to develop an interest in this. I had already made a complete break. Actually, no, I hadn't, because I can remember that I was still in the Episcopal Church after
right.
we had started this. So no, I hadn't made a clean break yet.
No.
But I would like to start by, just telling you how I got involved in it, because Shell kind of followed me in. But she also had a past with this to a certain
yes.
extent, where she was involved, not really involved, but you had inclinations.
Oh, I had lots of inclinations.
That you had, that you would have a better place in this religion than the one that we were in.
Right.
And it started when you were a teenager, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So for me, it was a little bit later, but only because I hadn't really had any exposure to it that wasn't from an evangelical point of view. I'd seen Wiccans depicted in different ways through various Christian channels. There were a few that routinely called Bob Larson back in the day. I'm pretty sure he is still out there and still doing
yes.
all that crazy, but he had a daily call-in talk show back in the day where he had callers that claimed to be Wiccan and having all kinds of weird conversations with them. I'm reasonably certain that most of them were plants.
Yeah.
I'm almost certain that these people called in and at the behest of the producers or were hired by the producers to just come in and stir things up a little bit.
Mm.
So around the end of 2011, I started thinking a little bit more seriously about this. I was not at all happy in any of the religiosity that I was involved in. I had gone so far as to get myself elected to the vestry at the Episcopal Church that we were going to. So my leadership roles, again, not sitting in the pews. I had stuff to do in this church. I was a lay leader. I would do readings. I would help with communion. There were all kinds of things that I was doing that were taking me out of the pew. And I even got to give the homily one Sunday.
That's
Remember
right.
that?
Yes, you did.
I actually got to give the homily, and it was one of the most sane sermons that I ever preached in my life, because I was finally in a room full of normal people that I could just have a normal conversation with from the pulpit.
Right.
And that was like between 2009 and 2011, I'm pretty sure, is when we were at that church.
Yeah.
So this was still fairly recent, okay? It wasn't that long ago. But I started feeling tugs toward this thing called Wicca. And it wasn't just a momentary thing. It went back pretty far. Not as far as college, but certainly early to mid 90s. And then when we moved to Massachusetts, this place is lousy with Wiccans. It really is. But when we moved to Massachusetts, it was the first time that I encountered people, real people in the real world, who were part of this religion. And one thing that I noticed, well, there were several things that I noticed, but one of the biggest things that I noticed about most of the Wiccans that I knew is that, yes, they were religious people, but they seemed to have a more practical take on things. That's some Wiccans. Now you also have Wiccans who think that the moon is a goddess. Okay, so there's that aspect of it too. And as a good Wiccan, you're supposed to accept whatever anybody wants to think about themselves, about their deities, about what may or may not be a deity. Even Scott Cunningham,
yeah,
told us that we could actually construct our own gods.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for somebody like me who didn't jibe with Christianity, who didn't like having to fit into a mold, Wicca was a way for me to make the mold fit me.
Right.
And that was a really, really desirable part of it. It was an attractive thing about the religion to me. So the more I delved in, the more I understood that I had way more control over things here.
Right.
That it was less likely that I was going to be judged for A, B, and C, or about opinion X, Y, or Z, than I would be in any kind of Christian circle. And that did prove to be true. It was the most accepting of all the religions that we were part of. And there was never any argument among anyone over whose deity was better. I never witnessed anyone argue about this, and I never got into arguments with anyone else. If I said I believed something, even if the other person thought I was nuts, I got a nod and an, oh, that's nice. It wasn't even a matter of, you know, trying to force your God on somebody else. There was none of that. It was refreshing.
Yeah.
But there was also a good bit of crazy, and I'll get into that in a little bit. But I went first and then spent a little bit of time trying to hold on to my church roots. Liam and I started going to the UU church.
Right.
And I didn't really get a whole lot out of that. And you stayed in the Episcopal church for a little while.
Yeah.
Even after I was out and calling myself Wiccan. And I remember this now. I was serving communion one Sunday after knowing that I had been at ritual on Friday night.
Right.
And I just decided, you know what? I can't live this double life.
No. Nope.
I cannot portray myself as something to these people that I know I am not. And that was when I finally decided to make the break. Mm-hmm. Now, that was me. And then a little bit later, you followed along.
Right.
So what was it?
Well, I was in the choir, which honestly was the reason that I stayed, because I loved singing in the choir, and I was able to also, you know, be a soloist and stuff, and I really liked that. I also, you know, I had grown up in the Episcopal church, and it was comfortable for me there. It was just a very comfortable place to be. But I gave a solo one Sunday. And, you know, I got through the solo and I did a good job. But I was like, you know what? I don't believe this stuff anymore. I don't believe this stuff anymore. So I can't really be here anymore. You know, so it wasn't like anything happened or, you know, it was just, I have to go.
So we basically had the same epiphany at different times.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And there had to be, I mean, it wasn't, was it my enthusiasm toward it that got you more interested in it, or was there something else?
No, I was staying with the Episcopal Church mostly because of nostalgia reasons. I mean, it was nostalgia reasons. I was comfortable there. I liked the people there. I was also calling myself a Wiccan as well. I had to wait until I was comfortable with leaving.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because I was at home there.
Oh, I know.
So.
And I liked it too. I mean, yeah. I had even thought about applying for the diaconate.
Yeah.
becoming a deacon in the Episcopal Church, it just seemed a lot more attractive to me.
Yeah.
Than anything in any of the Pentecostal evangelical churches we were in. Because even the Episcopal Church calls itself evangelical.
Well, yeah. But a lot of churches call themselves evangelical, but they don't mean evangelical in the same way.
It doesn't mean the same thing as it does.
The language is different.
A lot of times when you're talking evangelical, you're talking about Pentecostal evangelical, but then again, the Baptist Church, not Pentecostal by any means.
Right.
And they are militantly evangelical.
And in the creed, it says, we are part of one holy Catholic and apostolic church. This is not the Catholic Church. It's the Episcopal Church. Catholic is used in the sense of being worldwide.
Yes, it's the lowercase c, which makes the definition universal.
Right.
One holy, universal, apostolic church.
Right.
And yeah, I can remember that being in the creed in the Episcopal Church. Fortunately, it was something that I already figured out.
Yeah.
I knew the difference between capital C Catholic and lowercase c Catholic.
Right.
So, and in Episcopal terms, it's lowercase c, universal or worldwide. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and how fitting that our black cat walks in while we're recording something about Wicca.
Yes, it might be.
I feel like the cats kind of miss having ritual around.
Yeah, sometimes I do think they do.
I'm pretty sure that they do. And boy, did we get into ritual for a little while there.
Yes, we did. I enjoyed ritual a lot because everything had a reason. It wasn't like, it didn't feel made up. It was all made up, of course, but it didn't feel made up. It was a very natural part of everything. Everything had a flow. You did parallel things. You called in the quarters. You released the quarters at the end.
There was a lot of control.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot of control
that's
placed back in your hands mm-hmm. with this religion.
Yeah.
And for evangelicals coming out of that, the reason why it's been referred to as the methadone of evangelical religion, or yeah, I don't want to misquote these guys. I love their podcast. So How to Heretic guys talked about this. I don't want to misquote them, but I'm pretty sure that that's close.
That's the gist.
That's close to what they said, is that it's the methadone of evangelical religion. So, and I totally see that because it's all the same stuff. But instead of someone dangling it in front of you like a carrot, you can actually reach out and take it.
Right. It's a very DIY aesthetic.
Yes, yes. And that was one of the major things that drew me to it, was the fact that I already had the mysticism part of it down, because with all due respect, most evangelical Pentecostal religion is rooted and built up on Eastern mysticism.
Yes.
And there are so many parallels. And this, you just Google evangelical religion, Eastern mysticism, and you're going to come up with all the resources that you need. But if you need anything specific, then you can always just email us or touch base on Facebook or Twitter, and I can absolutely put you in touch with the resources that you need. But there are so many parallels between especially Pentecostal evangelicalism and Wicca, that it makes perfect sense to me that people coming out of one are going to land in the other mm-hmm. at least temporarily.
Right.
And it was temporary for me. I think you hung on to it a little bit longer. It's like when I'm done with something, you're not quite done with it for a while. And I never forced you out.
No.
Of the Episcopal Church. I never forced you out of Wicca.
No.
And these decisions were made on your own.
Right.
What was it that finally told you it was time to be done?
Yeah. Well, we were kind of done, kind of involuntarily done, when the people we were practicing with left the area and we were kind of cast adrift for a while. But you were watching The Atheist Experience, and I was watching right alongside you, and I was realizing that these people had really good points. But also, you know, it was kind of uncomfortable. But also, I really liked Wicca. I liked the way Wicca felt. It was very comfortable for me, because I studied a lot of witchy stuff when I was a teenager, and I really enjoyed it. And then, you know, when I got saved, I had to kind of give that up, and that was uncomfortable. That was really uncomfortable, but I did it because, hey, hell sounds like it sucks. Didn't want to go there.
You know what I liked about it the most?
What?
Honestly, was the fact that I was constantly surrounded by women that didn't have ecclesiastical leashes around their necks.
Yeah.
And then that religion was very female centric.
Yes.
It was very female populated.
Yeah.
And I found myself for the first time being in the minority and not really impressing people that much, which was actually refreshing because for the first time, I wasn't really being asked to do much except develop my own way of doing this.
Yeah.
And I like that too. But the big one for me was the way that it treated women.
Yeah.
That it was more for them than it was for us. But just like in life, we're needed there too.
Of course.
And the emphasis on both the goddess and the god made it welcoming for men. It's right. Just that we did have a tendency to kind of be thrown by the wayside a little bit in terms of, you know, certain emphases and certain ways of doing things. And in certain books, it always bothered me that the language was predominantly female when they were talking about witches. It always bothered me when people used terms like warlock. No, I was not a warlock. I was a witch. Warlock has a pejorative kind of connotation to it that right. To this day, I wouldn't dare use because I find it insulting.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I also understand that none of these things really mean anything. But to the practitioner and someone who's in it right now, it means everything. So you kind of have to treat it with kid gloves. And that's what I do to this day. I don't mind being called Wiccan because at the end of the day, Wicca is not a theistic thing. Wicca is, at its heart, a nature religion.
Right.
So you don't have to believe in the goddess and the god to be Wiccan. I knew several atheist Wiccans.
Yes.
Who didn't need anything outside of themselves to get the job done. Well, this evangelical boy who had grown up with the notion of the Holy Spirit indwelling him needed that plug-in with the theistic part of it. So what about you with your goddesses and gods? You were very convinced for a while. Mm-hmm. That there was one particular goddess that right. was working closely with you.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about that a little bit.
Well, I had really gotten attracted to the Morrigan very, very early on. I learned a lot about her. I felt a real connection with the stories, and it's hard to explain because the Morrigan is a war goddess. She is the goddess of sex and death. But I felt that she was very maternal towards me. But it was more like the mother pushing the chick out of the nest and trying to make her do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what I needed. And, you know, I understand that it was because of my imagination. They told us very early on, it's like in this religion, the better an imagination you have, the more deeper your spiritual life will be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's like,
that makes perfect sense.
It makes sense because, well, the legends didn't actually happen. I don't know anybody who really thinks all of these things happened. I mean, I'm sure there's some people who do, but in the heart of it, this is about nature. It's about ritual. It's about feeling a connection.
And we did.
Yeah.
And oh, we yeah. did. There's nothing wrong with that. It's when, again, you start externalizing everything.
Yeah.
That's where problems arise, is when you start to externalize and start attributing what you are experiencing to things outside yourself.
Right.
And it was an easy thing to do in Wicca. Now, I've said before that evangelical churches are havens for mental illness. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? Wicca is a huge haven for mental illness. And we ran into people with varying degrees of mental illness and varying degrees of managing mental illness. But some of the more fringe beliefs that you find in Wicca can be downright dangerous.
Of course.
And anytime you start externalizing and taking emphasis off yourself for things that you are doing consciously or unconsciously, problems can arise from mm-hmm. that. But I really saw a lot of crazy in Wicca.
Mm-hmm.
At least when we were in the Pentecostal churches, I could attribute it to various things. Most of the time it was women, and gee, I can't imagine why an evangelical woman would have mental illness.
I just can't imagine.
I mean, but I saw a lot of it in Wicca as well. And I have to wonder how many of those women had stories that were like ours
mm-hmm.
and found their place in something where their mental illness could simply settle.
Yeah. And for me, the thing that I find worrying about Wicca in general and most of the nature religions in general is that there is a whole lot of pseudoscience.
An insane amount of pseudoscience.
Lots.
Metaphysics especially. Quantum physics.
Yeah, which I don't think anybody really understands.
No.
But they've invented things around quantum physics that serve them. The secret is huge, huge pseudoscience. It's not scientific.
And the funny thing is, we embraced that.
Of course.
After spending the entire decade of the 80s decrying the whole name it and claim it thing
right.
in evangelical circles.
But it's
there was
just
no
the same
difference.
Thing. No, it's the same
yeah.
thing. And the problem is that you can positive mental attitude everything, but never get anywhere, you know?
It amazes me how much I decried it was the word faith movement.
Right.
And I used to go off on the absurdity of the notion that you could will God into giving you all of this stuff.
Right.
But the secret or the law of attraction, which is huge in Wicca.
Oh, it's...
Okay.
It is almost a tenet of Wicca.
Oh, yeah. But the law of attraction, it's just a rebranding of a lot of the stuff that what I called crazy in evangelical circles was. There was very little difference between what they were telling me to do in the law of attraction and praying and manifesting things. That was the big thing in evangelical
yeah.
circles was manifesting things. And you get to Wicca and all of a sudden, well, everything's about manifesting things.
Right.
It's just, you know, same shit, different deities, more than anything else.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So I ran into a lot of really, really neat people also. They weren't all crazy.
Of course
there
not.
Were some very, very good people, people that I miss, people that I kind of got ripped away from.
Yeah.
Who I do miss, but I still think that at this point I would be out.
Yeah.
Even if certain bad things hadn't happened,
right.
I still don't think that I would be in at this point because I would have gone through another thing like I did with the Episcopal Church,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, okay, I'm in this ritual, I'm leading this ritual, and I don't believe in any of it anymore.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure that my sense of integrity would have won the day, and I would have just gotten out, regardless of whether or not certain things had happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I met some really, really crazy people. I met some really, really nice people whom I miss.
Yeah.
And then I met some real evil people. And let me tell you, the grass is not greener.
No.
On the other side of any religion.
No.
Because every religion has those three groups of people. You've got the moderately sane ones that seem normal or are normal. I mean, I didn't see anything in most of the people at our Episcopal church that struck me as anything but normal.
Right.
Okay. So you have the normal ones. Then you've got the ones who have found a home for their mental illness.
Right.
And then you've got the ones who are just the same kind of nasty that your average evangelical would be. It doesn't matter what your religion is. If that's the type of person you are, that's the type of person you're going to be regardless of what you call your religion. I take part of the blame for some of the things that happened toward the end and some of the interactions that we had with people. But there were also a lot of circumstances where I felt like certain people could have handled things way, way better.
Well, yeah.
Without going into a lot of detail, one of the people who was part of this group with us was we were kind of on the same wavelength with a lot of things, or at least I thought we were. And I just sort of casually brought up one night that I thought that it would be neat if we had a pagan-centric youth group to kind of keep the kids that are already in this kind of level. You know what I mean?
Right.
Give them someplace, a sacred space that was their own, that they could start developing their own beliefs and their own ways of doing things. And the problem with that was that my evangelical brain still wanted to do it in an evangelical way.
Right.
And I think that that rubbed certain people the wrong way, but it was no excuse for some of the things that happened. And since some of these people are still kind of thither and yon on my friends list, I'm not going any further with that. But if you're sharing the tapes here, those of you who did us wrong know who you are. And yes, I absolutely understand my part in it. But at the same time, I walked away from something that I had spent decades on, thinking that I had found something better, and just found out that it really is the way that my father used to say, if the grass looks greener on the other side, it's just because more shit's been piled on it.
Yeah.
And that really kind of puts a period on the way that I feel about Wicca. A lot of these people come into this particular religion with a lot of baggage in tow. And that baggage manifests in different ways. We had one member of our group who went through a divorce. Mm. And you remember how she basically just turned on me?
Yeah.
She turned all her vitriol on the one heterosexual male who was really active in that group.
Yeah.
And things turned very nasty toward the last couple of months. And then the person that I was working on the youth group with, I still don't know precisely how things went so terribly bad with this. But I do remember that there was a long-winded tirade over Facebook Messenger with her over the way certain things were being handled.
Yeah.
And looking back, I think that I probably could have handled it a little bit better. But at the same time, I was kind of outnumbered.
Yeah.
Because this person had friends in this circle, particularly the person who was basically our teacher, had her very well in her corner. And there were all kinds of circumstances that really left me in a position where I could not fix things that were becoming more broken by the day.
Yeah.
So at that point, it was a matter of, I just had to cut bait on it. After all of that happened, I was able to step back and look at that experience from the perspective of the ones that I had as an evangelical, and just came to the conclusion that religion is religion is religion. And religious people are religious people regardless of what kind of moniker they wear. Yeah. There are good ones, there are crazy ones, and there are evil ones. And we encountered all three in Christianity and in Wicca.
Right.
So that's just a little peek into kind of what I consider to be our after story in theism. I'm not sure if the conscious decision was ever made to get out. I feel like we just sort of stopped doing ritual.
Right.
And when the couple that we had been practicing with, well, for starters, they broke up. And then she found another guy who took her off somewhere to just basically for a change of scenery and a fresh start. And unfortunately, that took her like half a country away, which kind of sucks because I had a very, very good relationship with her. And so did you.
Yeah.
We both loved her a lot. And I felt like we were doing a lot to make things better between her and the boyfriend.
Right.
And for a while, it really did look like things were improving. And then he decided that, he was going to kind of relapse a little bit. And started, let's just say that he made it difficult for me to continue working with this other person.
Right.
And it took a long time for her to figure out what she needed to do. But after I don't know how many hours and how many late night drives just talking all of this stuff out, she finally decided that it was time. And In the interim, she actually met another guy, and that's where our story kind of ended. We did our last ritual on Samhain in 2016.
Yeah.
And that was the last time that I can recall doing any kind of ritual or even thinking all that heavily about my religion. When this person left, I got very depressed, and it really, I felt like most of my identity with that religion walked off with her, because I had invested so much in trying to make her life a little bit better and using this as the vehicle for it. And I'm pretty sure I succeeded because she left that guy.
Right.
It wasn't my intention to make them break up. It was my intention to make them both think about the situation that they were in. And one of them thought more about it than the other.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really what it boiled down to.
Yeah.
And I don't at all regret the time that I spent in Wicca. I have a lot of regrets about evangelical Christianity, but really none about Wicca.
Right.
Even the really nasty stuff that happened toward the end. Number one, I know that I played a part.
Right.
But I also, even the bad stuff was nothing in comparison to what I was put through as a Christian.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't have people trying to sway my opinions on things. I didn't have people trying to guilt me into doing things or spending more time at church or going to more rituals or anything. There was none of that.
Right.
It was the most laid back religion that I've ever seen. And it was the best one out there, in my opinion, for self-expression.
Right.
But you know what? There are better ways and there are better avenues. You don't have to apply all this mystical mumbo jumbo. You are capable all on your own of doing certain things and accomplishing certain things, and praying to outside deities isn't going to make you more so.
Right.
So the funny thing is, and this kind of, when I realized that that this was slipping away from me, the one thing that I thought of was at the very end of The Charge of the Goddess, Wicca basically turned me atheist with this.
Yes.
Because if you listen closely to the words and not just recite it like you're reciting the Apostles' Creed that you've heard a million and one times and don't even know what you're saying anymore.
Right.
If you listen to the end of The Charge of the Goddess by, is it Darlene or Doreen?
Doreen
Valiente?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a line at the end of this beautiful poem. It's the closest thing that we had to scripture, really, in Wicca,
right,
was this. And that in the Wiccan read. But this line was what opened the door out for me. In the very end of The Charge of the Goddess, she says, "And if you seek for me, know that your seeking will avail you not unless you discover this mystery, that if that which you seek you find not within yourself, you will never find it anywhere."
Right.
Well, I looked into myself, and all I found was me.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I determined that I was enough. And I found myself for the first time unbound. So that's our story in a nutshell, and I hope that you enjoyed our first side stories episode. And as these ideas come to us, we're going to do a few more. You know, we didn't spend a whole lot of time on this. It's a short-ish episode for us, so I hope that you enjoyed it. We're going to do more like this. For right now, we're going to sign off, and we're going to invite you back bright and early Sunday morning for our next episode. And this one is, this is not one that you're going to want to miss. We're going to be talking about speaking in tongues and why people believe that they can do it, what's actually happening when you're doing it. And Shell and I are both going to talk about our experiences with that. Definitely mark off some time. That one, it's going to be another longish episode, about an hour and 20 minutes or so, and it's going to be well worth a listen. So we do hope that you'll join us for that. And also make sure that you're following us on Twitter, on Facebook, and our woefully mishandled Instagram account that I'm going to be working on and getting that up to snuff. Right now, I'm doing most of my interacting on Twitter, so you can follow, it's Unbound @_spider on Twitter, and Witchy Subversive.
Yes, on Witchy Twitter. Subversive on Twitter.
So you can find us both there. And also just make sure that if you haven't already, please subscribe to the show. Please throw us some likes and some 5-star ratings wherever you're listening.
Yes.
Whatever platform you're hearing us on, let's try and build up some momentum so that we can help some more people get unbound, okay? So we see you Sunday, and until next time, I'm Spider.
And I'm Shell.
And it's time to get unbound.